Hey, man. That'll make you shout, won't it? I could listen to that all day. We're going to give a test at the end of the service. You got to name all those songs that she played. How many of you think was in that medley? Too many to count. That was great. Sounded good. We are blessed to have Miriam as part of our music ministry. We appreciate her and appreciate that tonight. Great job. Well, let's look at some scripture about the Christmas story. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. Matthew 1, 18 through 25 is a very familiar passage about the birth of Jesus, and one of my favorite. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all that was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together, Lord. Thank you for everyone here. Bless our time together now as we open your word. I pray that you'd forgive me of my sins, Lord. Cleanse me, use me, give me the words to say. Speak through me. We pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. I read a story about a little boy that was very disappointed when he didn't get the part of Joseph in the church Christmas play. He had tried out for the part of Joseph, but was given the part of the innkeeper instead. The innkeeper's part was a very small part, but the story of Joseph, of course, was a major role in the play. All during the weeks of rehearsal, the little boy thought about how he could get revenge and especially wanted to embarrass the boy playing Joseph. Then came the night of the play. Joseph and Mary made their entrance and knocked on the door of the inn. The little boy playing the role of the innkeeper opened the door just a little crack and he stared at Mary and Joseph. Joseph said, "Can you give us a room for the night?" And of course, he expected to be turned away. But the innkeeper swung open the door wide open, smiled and said, "Come in, come in. I'll give you the best room in the hotel." There was dead silence. The little boy playing Joseph didn't know what to do. After a long pause, he said this, "Hold on a minute. I'll look inside first." He looked over the innkeeper's shoulder and he said, "I'm not taking my wife to a place like this. Come on, Mary, we'll sleep in the barn." No doubt they chose the right little boy to play Joseph in the play. And we see here in God's word that God chose the right man for the real story of Christmas. There is often a lot of emphasis about Mary and her part in the Christmas story. The wise men, the shepherds, the angels, they all get a lot of attention. But Joseph is like an extra in a cheap movie. In a local play, the role of Joseph, the person playing Joseph, usually just stands there in a robe and sandals. But Joseph has a very important role as well. Joseph was the man that God chose to be the earthly father of his heavenly son. It says here that Joseph was a just man. Translated, that means that Joseph was an upright man. He was a righteous man. He had a heart for God. He wanted to do God's will. Yes, there are many characters in the Christmas story, but tonight we're going to focus on the man named Joseph and his role and his part in the Christmas story. So tonight, the title of our lesson, A just man named Joseph. A just man named Joseph. Let's look at his example for us to follow. Notice the tragedy. Look at verse 18 and 19. Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. The story begins here with Mary betrothed to Joseph. This was like an engagement phase. But in Bible times, this engagement was legally binding. They were actually considered to be husband and wife, but they were not to have physical relations until the marriage ceremony was performed and the marriage becomes official. During this phase of engagement, Joseph discovers Mary is with child, and of course he knows that the baby is not his. Now think about that for a moment. Think about his dilemma. Think about this crisis that he's facing now in his life. He discovers that the woman he's engaged to is with child and they haven't been physically together. Joseph has options. There are different options that he could have taken as a result of this situation. He could have divorced Mary, broken this legal engagement. And nobody, of course, would have blamed Joseph for this. The Old Testament law actually said that Mary should have been stoned to death because of what she had done. But Joseph here, this time of excitement, if you will, becomes a time of embarrassment. He's now facing this tragedy in his life. But isn't that how life for us today can be sometimes? Sometimes you and I make plans in life. Sometimes you and I set goals and have high expectations. Sometimes you and I are looking at life and we've got hopes and dreams about how we want life to be. But sometimes our dreams are shattered and our plans fail. Sometimes things happen in life that are unexpected and certainly unwanted. But listen to me, here is a key point here for this part, first point of the lesson. Listen, we must always remember that God is always at work in our lives. God is always at work in your life, in my life. He is always at work for our good, even though sometimes we find ourselves in the midst of a crisis. Sometimes it feels like God is letting us go through the difficult times alone. Sometimes when we're in a difficult situation, it feels like God's a million miles away. We see in Scripture where David even experienced this. David was going through a difficult time, facing a crisis in his life. And he wrote Psalm 13, and listen to what David said regarding this. Psalm 13, verse 1, David said this, listen, "How long, O Lord, Will you forget me forever? David felt like God had just totally forgotten him, leaving him all alone to face life. How long, listen to this, how long will you hide your face from me? Verse 2, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? In our human limitations, we go through difficult times, and it's understandable to question, where is God? It's understandable to question what God is doing in our life. It's understandable to question the fact that God has left us all alone and question what God is doing to help us. I know Bill King is not here tonight. We all know and love Bill King, and I wanted to ask him about his orchestra instrument here. I think that's called the orchestra baton. And, you know, we've often seen orchestra leaders, people who lead the orchestra or a symphony, they use this to direct the orchestra. And Bill, I think, uses this to direct our orchestra, and he faces our orchestra. And you ever notice the energy that Bill puts into it when he's leading our orchestra? But I've often wondered, what does all that mean? What is this for? You ever really thought about that? Is it just random waving of the arms? Some of you are in the orchestra and you know that's not the case. Well, I read something, an article about this, and it gave an explanation of what all those movements mean. And listen to what it says. It says, the movement of the left hand signifies dynamics, emotion, and expression, while the right hand is used to signify speed and beat. I'm not a music person. I still don't get it, but I don't know, maybe if you can understand what that means. But listen, we may wonder where God is at in our lives sometimes, but God always rules and reigns over the whole universe. God is like an orchestra conductor conducting all the affairs in all of creation, including in your life and in mine. He directs the affairs of all things, including the affairs and the things going on in your life. Even in tragedy, you're not alone. Listen, do not be discouraged. You know that verse, you know that the Bible teaches that God will never leave you nor forsake you. He always works on your behalf. I was thinking of meditating and putting this together, the lesson together, and trying to think of a cross-reference verse, and I thought about Romans 8:28. That's a very popular verse. We use it a lot, and I think it almost becomes cliche, but it's so very true. All things, what things? All work together for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. We see that here in Joseph's life. All these things going on in his life are working together for good. So we see here, first of all, number one, we see the tragedy. Number two, now, notice the task. Notice the task, verse 20 through 23. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this was that it was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Listen to me. Listen. Notice what happens here, and this is what God does in our lives today as well. In the middle of tragedy, God placed a call on Joseph's life. In other words, he gave Joseph instructions. God revealed his plan for Joseph, even in this difficult time. Joseph here is instructed not to divorce Mary, not to punish Mary, but to take her as his wife. He's instructed to embrace this child as his own. It says here, Joseph is even told what to name his baby. And it is revealed that the baby is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. In 2005, Staples released a new advertising campaign that revolved around the slogan, or revolved around a toy called an Easy Button. The Easy Button represented the convenience of shopping at Staples. Their message was that you can buy all your office supplies at Staples and it will be easy. They developed an Easy Button toy and made over $7 million just off that toy. An Easy Button toy. God has a plan for your life. Any person, any believer that's still on this side of heaven, God has a plan for your life. God still wants to use you. All of us here tonight, up in age, but God has a plan for every one of us. Phil alluded to in his prayer that even in times of physical need and physical limitation, we can still be prayer warriors. God has a plan for your life, but it is not always easy. Life doesn't come with an easy button. But we see here, the angel told Joseph to not fear, to not fear. You see, the key in fulfilling God's plan for our life, even in tragedy, is trust in God. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. One of my favorite verses. But I love that. It says, our role in difficult times is not to have to understand it. We don't have to understand what we're going through, what we're facing, but the verse says to trust God. Don't lean on your understanding. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to analyze it, but simply trust God. Listen, God will never call another man to do what Joseph did, but God has plenty of things to be done. Many jobs to be done, many plans to be fulfilled, and he just needs the people who are willing to do them and trust him and live in obedience. So we see here, number one here, in looking at Joseph's example, we see the tragedy. Number two, we see the task. And number three, notice the testimony. The testimony. Look at verse 24 and 25. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. Did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Mark Twain said this. Kind of a cynical statement. He said, nothing is more annoying than a great example by an average person. Joseph was an average person, and his life serves as a great example to follow. He woke up from this dream, And it says he obeyed God's command. He was fully surrendered to the Lord's will for his life. Without hesitation, without compromise, Joseph lived by faith and obedience to the Lord. Joseph wasn't concerned about what other people thought. He wanted to carry out God's will for his life. He set aside his own wants and desires and fully complied with God's plan and instructions. As you know, Kim has been home from the hospital for about 3 weeks now. And I want to say that we are so grateful to all of you for your love and support during her time of illness. And y'all have just been tremendous, and we appreciate the cards and letters and gifts and food, and we're very thankful and appreciative. But she's been home about 3 weeks, and she goes to get platelets, or blood, or whatever is needed, twice a week now here in Rome. And so I take her each time, and Monday, she goes to Floyd Hospital, and we went Monday morning after going to the cancer center. We go into the infusion center, and they have all these chairs set up for the patients to go in, sit down, receive their treatment, or whatever it is they're getting during the infusion. So we went in, went all the way to the back. Kim sat down in her chair, the big patient chair. You know, it's a big reclining padded chair. She's sitting there. Next to it is a chair for a family member to sit in. And then there's another chair next to us, a patient chair with a family member chair next to it. And there was a man sitting in that patient chair receiving treatment, and there was a woman there with him. So I was sitting right next to the woman. And so Kim has always had hard-to-find veins. She's hard to stick. And so she has a hard time with that sometimes. You know, sometimes a nurse, it's very easy. Sometimes it's very difficult. It takes several times, takes several nurses. So we have been there to the infusion center at Floyd long enough for them to understand that Kim has hard veins to find. So Kim got settled in. A nurse came over, started taking her vitals, doing the preliminary stuff. And she said, called another nurse by name. I'm going to let her put in your IV. And so, because this other nurse, very good at doing that. So when they got ready, the other nurse come over, and she's getting set up and going to put the IV in and everything. And she, of course, understands that Kim has veins that are hard to find. And there's another lady that we always see there. It's a black lady that works there. And she seems to be over everything. She seems to be in charge. She's very outgoing, very nice. Just does everything that she can to take care of the patients. And she knows, of course, the situation, and she comes over, and so she's there, and Kim's getting ready to put a pillow under her arm, and she said, the black lady told Kim, said, hold my hand, I'm going to stand here with you, hold my hand. And the previous time, the nurse sang to Kim while she was looking for the vein, to take Kim's mind off of it. And the nurse said, Monday said, well, I can't sing. And Kim said, well, can you hum? And she said, no, I can't hum. And Kim said, can you pray? And the black lady said, honey, I can pray. And so the lady sitting next to me took out her cell phone, and from her playlist, she chose a Christian song and got it turned on her phone. And so that Christian song on her phone is playing, and she handed it to me, and I laid it on the pillow there with Kim. And I want to tell you something, that black lady went to praying, Lord Jesus, make that vein stand out. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. She went to praying and it was a spiritual moment, and that song was playing, you know, and I want you to know that needle just went right in, first time. And we got finished. I told them, I said, y'all, we had church back here. And we did. It was a Holy Spirit moment. Well, the patient next to us finished up. They finished him up, and him and the lady that was with him, we said our goodbyes, and they left. And so Kim is sitting there, and I'm looking at my phone. And a few minutes later, a nurse ran back in to where Kim and I was at and said, that lady wanted you to have this. And it was her little small little couch blanket that she brought. You know, sometimes it's cold in those rooms, and she had brought a blanket with her, and she gave it to the nurse and told it to give it to Kim. She wanted her to have it. And I took off running down the hall to try to catch them, to tell them they didn't have to do that or thank them for it or whatever. And so, but when I got back, I unfolded the blanket, and the blanket had a Bible verse on it that said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It was just an unbelievable moment. And so we're so thankful for that blanket and that verse. But I want you to, I told that story because I want you to know that we go through difficult times in life sometimes. We have our hopes and our dreams and our plans and our high expectations. And sometimes it can all come crashing down. We see that here with Joseph. In the midst of a difficult situation, God still had a plan. Amen, church? He still had a plan. He had not abandoned Joseph. Joseph was not alone. He had an important plan for Joseph. And I want you to know that God has a plan for your life, even in your difficult days. He is always at work. And remember the words of Paul. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this Christmas season, the Christmas story. Thank you for the life of Joseph. What an example he provides to us. This time of excitement in his life, a time of high expectations, had plans for him and Mary. But then things went bad. He thought it was all over, but yet it was just beginning. Thank you, God, that you're always at work in our life. Help us to be mindful of that. Thank you that you have instructions, you have a plan for each one of us here tonight, Lord. Whatever it may be, help us to be obedient in following your word and your will and your way. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.